George, come on up here.
Sorry, I got to put my glasses on. I'm in my 40s now. I never thought I'd see the day that I have to put glasses on, but here it is. You know? Anyways, a few weeks ago, Bill came up to me and he approached me and he said, "Hey, I'd like to know if you could, you know, say some things at this seminar I'm going to have." Well, I'll be honest with you. The first thing that came to my mind was, "No way, Jose." I mean, this to me, I don't enjoy this. This is like torture getting up here. So I'll just be frankly honest with you. But quickly after I got that feeling, you know, I was saying that, I got a feeling from the Holy Spirit. He pressed on my heart and said, "Hey, I want you to talk about what I do for you." Okay. So at that point, I said, "Yes, I have to do it." So I want to read a couple things. This is kind of what drives me when I'm pushed up front to go up front. Is in Matthew 25, this is talking about the parable about the talents. In verse 15, I'm not going to read everything in there. I think a lot of people know this story. If not, you can read it. It's actually 25. It starts in round 14, and it goes all the way to like round 29 or 30. But in verse 15, the part at the end of the verse says, "And to another one talent," okay, or, I'm sorry, "each according to his ability," okay? So when I think about myself and I go up front, if I think about my ability, it's pretty poor. You know, if I try to judge myself against other people like Kirk or Rayo that go up there all the time, they talk, they're used to it. So this is encouraging to me to say, okay, this is, it doesn't matter because he's given it to me according to my ability. And then in the end of the verse, towards the 20, starting around 24, verse 24, where it talks about the person who had the one talent, you know, we think one talent is not very much. But when you look at it, it says it's 20 years worth of a day's wage for a laborer. So it is very valuable. Right. So, but that person there, he said he did not take that talent and do anything with it. He kind of like buried it. And the way I guess it's revealed to me is that if the Lord deposits a gift in me, gives me a talent, and I hold on to it and I don't invest in it, then it's kind of like I'm being like that. I'm kind of like, I'm wasting it. I'm not doing what he's given me. So that kind of like, that drives me because I don't want it to be taken away from me and given to the person who has five. I want to enjoy in that same benefit as that person does. So with all that to start out, I'll share two things. One is in the very beginning when I was a teenager, and the other one is a dream that happened a few years ago. So as a teenager, when you're 17 years old and you want to be cool, right? You want to impress the girls. You want to look like you're the man, you know? So the Lord started dealing with my heart about worshiping, okay? So I was wanting to be popular and cool and impress the girls. But to me, it didn't seem like it was very popular or cool, you know, to sing out loud. Most guys, especially my age, when they sang, you see their lips move, but there's no noise coming out. And the reason is because if they hit a wrong note, they don't want nobody to laugh at them or think, you know, you're not cool. Yeah, right. Well, the Lord really dealt my heart to kind of go past that, and I sang loud. I raised my hand, I closed my eyes, and I worshiped God. Well, in that process, he started speaking to me in a soft, subtle voice in my head, putting thoughts in my head. And what he did is he started putting in the sermon of what the theme of the sermon was, each and every Sunday, and he did it for over a year. Wow. I mean, what he was doing in my heart right there was setting a baseline, right. So that way when he did talk to me, I could understand. At that time, he wasn't using me to say anything up front, but he was teaching me, he was growing me. Okay, so that was pretty neat in my life that I was able to have that. The second thing I'm going to talk about is a dream, okay? Now, this dream is very personal to me. It's very hard. It's very difficult. I'm not really gifted in dreams like Jennifer is, but every once in a while I get them. Well, the Lord gave me this one dream. It was back in March 13th of 2010. Now, remember the date. Okay, in that year, we were at Myrtle Beach resting. I shouldn't be thinking about anything, right? It's vacation. But the Lord, while I was sleeping, gave me a dream. And this is what he said. I'll make it very brief. There was a forest. There was a road that was running through the forest. As I went on the road, I came across an opening. There was three lots of land. The first one was just a clearing. It was just cleared off. The second one was a clearing, but it had a foundation on it, okay? And then on the third one, it was a beautiful finished temple, very beautiful. But when I looked at the one in the middle, I saw somebody working, and it was me. I was working on the foundation. Okay, as I was working on the foundation, I noticed a dark figure come along. And that dark figure I saw as being Satan. And he was trying to kill me, okay? And he was trying to destroy me. And I told him, I said, well, you're not going to happen. I'll get away from you. And he says, well, when you try to run away, I'm going to trip you, and I'm going to knock a tree on you, try to kill you. You know, and I'm not going to get into any more of it, but, you know, at that time, my spiritual life was doing good. I was doing good financially. Everything was sound. Okay? I pray about it and move on about my business. I don't know what that means. You know, it wasn't really whole relevant. Well, actually, 5 years later, on March 13th, 2015, 5 years to the day, and one day, I lost my job. I almost lost my wife and my kids all in the same day. God was telling me, because he was wanting to start preparing me. And I wasn't really faithful with it because I didn't quite understand it. But luckily, I was able to survive that. God was very merciful and graceful to me. So the reason I'm sharing this is because what God's placed on my heart was a couple of things. You know, when he gives you something, you need to do something with it. Mm-hmm. Don't hold on to it, because he's given it to you for a reason. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gave me this analogy. And I'm not a coffee person, but most people are. You know, I think of us all as like coffee beans. We're different roasted, you know. Some are espresso, some are decaffeinated, you know, some are lattes. But that's what they are. But we're just a bean originally, right? But what makes the difference is when the living water is poured into you, right? Mm-hmm. Then it becomes something different. Well, the Lord is wanting to do something with everybody, but there's people that are out there that need to have an espresso. They need to have decaffeinated, you know? They need to have half and half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you have, how he speaks to you, you know, I don't want to go up there. And it's kind of similar to like how Rayo is. You know, I'm standing there, the Lord is pouring on me, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go up there. This is not what I want to do. But he continues to press on me. And I have to sit there and think and say, look, I know there's no way I want to go up there. I know this is the Lord. I got to go. And I'm coming out of my skin, and I go up there. And I also want to stress to you, you know, don't hold back. You know, when the Lord gives you something, do it exactly how it is. If he tells you to swing on a rope, swing on a rope. Because I found out in my personal life, when you do exactly as he is, no matter how bizarre it is, the blessings are even more, and you get more of that a lot of times than the people that you're actually, it's for. Mm-hmm. So that's basically kind of all I had. George,